Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening to us today on this beautiful day. See how I did that? I just projected beautiful onto whatever day it is that they're listening.
And then naturally, the world is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Then they're going to look out the window, maybe of the train that you're on, and be like, oh, it is a beautiful day.
Take a minute and look outside. Or if you're outside, take a minute and look up. Just look up. I mean, this is one of the things I always make sure I do. I look up. Some, you know, we don't always do that. We're like, on our phones, we're looking down at the ground, we're looking at wherever we're going. But if you just stop for a minute and look up, you're going to see things that are kind of awesome. Okay, so that's my tip for the day. And that's the show. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
If only it were that
easy. We should
easy.
Have a new mini episodes that are like tidbits with Michelle and Christy. That's your tidbit for the day. Look up. It's a beautiful fucking day.
It's wonderful. I don't care if it's hailing outside or snowing. It's beautiful.
What are we talking about on today's episode?
Well, it's it's our favorite time of the month. And it's not when Aunt Flo is visiting. It is Yawa. You ask, we answer.
It's
from
sticking.
Her.
Yawa. It's sticking.
She hates. Do you still hate it, or it's not some? You don't hate.
I
it so
hate
much?
Love it. I hate love it.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, have you ever rolled a muscle out on a foam roller that's super super sore, and you're like, oh, it hurts, yeah. But I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like that.
I'm picking
is
up
like
what
that?
You're dropping down. Yes, it is
okay,
like
good.
That. It's like that for my ears. And when you say it, you look so happy and proud of yourself that I can't help but join you on your happy train. So
you're on the journey, okay, lady? Just friggin'.
It's a Yawa. You ask, we answer. We have three great questions that we had to sift through because we got so many questions since our last Yawa.
Yeah, you guys, keep them coming, man. It's just, yeah, I love it. There were a lot of good ones, but we try to pick the ones that we think are going to benefit, you know, the majority
the masses.
Of listeners. Yeah.
Yeah, something that's very specific, but also potentially universal for those of you in the wedding planning realm. So you email us your questions. They can be sort of long-winded questions. That's totally fine. Say a good half of what the questions we get are like several pages long of you have to like tell us the story before you get to the question. We're totally into that. And then we not only answer, but if there's a follow-up requested, Michelle, you went into like overdrive on one of these email responses, giving her answers.
I did.
Yeah. And so we're here for you. We answer you. And then we ask also if you wouldn't mind if we share it on the podcast. So far, 100% of you have been gracious enough and said yes. Maybe it's because you think you owe us that much since we've responded to your email. I don't know. We're happy that you're emailing us and you're engaging with us and that our podcast is helping. So the only way we can keep doing these episodes at the end of every month is if you keep sending in your emails to us. So
yeah,
that's that. That's what makes the world go round.
It's the whole cycle. You know, it's a cycle. It's like Aunt Flo.
Mm.
Yep. You know, you drop us back some questions, we spew out the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too much?
I think it's, I think spew was a lot, but is like maybe just enough. Maybe that right, just well. Enough. So that's what today's episode is. We have two housekeeping items before that. Yes.
Yeah, we have two housekeeping items. So we are super excited. We've told you guys about Patreon, that we are now coming to you with, you know, hands at heart center, prayer, whatever you want to call it. And we are asking for your support on Patreon so that we can continue doing this show and do some freaking amazing things with it.
We're asking for some money, y'all. Drop us like a latte's worth of coin. A month?
What you spend at Starbucks, maybe.
If 100 of
a fraction of that.
Gave us $5 a month, that would be infinitely more than we're already getting.
Infinitely.
And we wanted to talk just a little bit, and we know you might be 15 seconding us right now. We wanted to talk just a little bit about what this support will hopefully influence or be able to help directly. And that some of it has to do with the technical things like editing or for us to be able to have a more comprehensive marketing plan and get to more listeners. That's kind of like back-end businessy stuff. But on a more personal level, Michelle and I have not actually seen each other in the flesh for many years.
Oh, my God. So many years.
And a little bit of money in a bank account that is towards the podcast, which we've not – that has not existed – and we call this a labor of love, which it absolutely is. And we're so happy to be doing it. But we would love to get to see each other and, you know, take some fun photos and get out a more personal side of the podcast, which is us.
And interview people in person, the two of us, and go and look at spaces and venues and do research for you guys. I mean, it's all to bring you all awesome
content
and helpful tips and tricks and interview awesome people that are going to also give you really, really good information. But you know, depending on what level of membership you choose, there are benefits for you in addition to the already, you know, kind of giving the cow, what is the term? Giving the milk for free.
Nobody's going to buy the cow if you give away the milk for free.
If something like that, my mother told
me. Yeah, mostly it was about losing our virginities back in the day.
Yeah.
But now it's about
treasure.
Yeah.
You know,
don't give your treasure away.
Don't give it away. We've all got treasure inside. Blah, blah,
no pirates. But wait, what? We're going to, because you'll never be pillaged if you already.
So what we're saying is buy us dinner. Just buy us dinner because we're giving it all away. But when you become a member, you are going to get some awesome additional benefits.
Yes.
Whether it be your name being said on our podcast.
Exclusive, like back behind the scenes access to us, more personal. Yep. We'll do some bonus episodes that we've really thought about these bonus episodes. Like, should we talk about really specific things? Like, that, you know, I don't know, a template for something. But I think what would be really cool is that the bonus episodes are a more like in-depth personal look at who we are,
like what we really think about.
Yeah, these
like things.
A little bit uncensored, like Michelle and Christy uncensored, if you can believe it. We do censor ourselves a little bit for these episodes, and this would be
just a
step into the closet, so to speak. You know, we have some opinions
like that
we don't think. You know, sometimes we question ourselves, like, should we say that? And you know, these.
Do we want everybody here? Yeah.
Is that going to come back to us in a way? But for our super fans, as they were, you know, on these, on the Patreon page and essentially like buying into this club, we think that would be a cool thing to share and that we would have fun with that. So.
And one-on-ones.
And one-on-ones, yes. Some 20 minutes of Skype with both of us. That's priceless.
Or more if it's a higher level membership. But yeah, I mean, you can get one or both of us on a one-on-one call asking your specific wedding questions. If you want us to look at your timeline with you, if you want to ask us something really in-depth with regard to logistics.
If you want us to tell you that you're not crazy and that shit that your mother-in-law is pulling absolutely is crazy. You know. Yeah,
and here's what you're going to say. And, you know, whatever it is, you're going to get us one-on-one. So it's super, super valuable, we think. And so whatever you can do, we appreciate it. So go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. It's all laid out there so you can read about it. If we're helping you plan your wedding, you could probably throw us some bucks, you know, some money every month for the amount of months left in planning the wedding. Now. I would like to thank 4 patrons who have signed up and are showing us their appreciation. And those peeps are amazing people. Christopher W. Thank you, Christopher W. We don't know if we should say the full last name yet. We're a little bit, I don't know.
Yeah, we're gonna just initial it for now.
We're going to say the full first name. You know who you are. You know who you are, okay? So Christopher W., you can't see me, but my hands are like, thank you. I'm virtual hug coming out. Ooh, you feel that? Yes.
You're MVP, man.
You're MVP. Yeah, okay. And then, you're the MVP of this group, Christopher W. And then Matthew B. I love you, Matthew. We love you. Thank you so much. Catherine S. Thank you, Catherine. We hope we're helping you. You're helping us. Lauren M. Thank you, Lauren. All of you, Christopher, Matthew, Catherine, and Lauren, thank you so much. Sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, we really, really, really appreciate your love and support.
I was going to break into the thank you song from Sound of Music there, but I'll spare you all. We're trying to get more patrons, not turn patrons away.
We got to be careful, Christy. All right, so that first housekeeping is done. All right, second is iTunes review. So we have seen, you guys, a lot of you are rating us, like giving us the 5 stars, and that is amazing. When you have the time to rate us 5 stars, that is helping us, you know, just again pop up when people are searching for podcasts, and it's allowing others to see that we exist. So we really appreciate that. We have a review to read. And I'm reading this, right?
Yep. I don't have it. Yeah, okay. I've actually not heard it yet. So give it to me.
All right. This is from April 19th. And you know who the person's name on iTunes is? Frequent Groupon Shopper. Uh-huh.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, here we go. I've listened to a handful of wedding planning podcasts, and this one is the best. The content is so good, and I find the discussions/tips to be so real. Other podcasts offer generic advice. I was so frustrated after hours of listening. I didn't learn anything I didn't already know from reading a few wedding advice articles online. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast really separates itself from the masses by offering 1, truly practical and easily applied info on timeline creation/logistics/budgeting. They have episodes dedicated to exactly how to create certain Excel worksheets. Also, many podcasts will talk about the average wedding cost, but they are the only ones that talk through what exactly spending, quote unquote, average buys you. 2, she's very, he or she is very organized, by the way.
Yeah.
2, interviews with both real couples and experts in the business. And experts not always directly thought of for weddings, like sex therapists and financial advisors. Hey.
Very good.
These guest speakers bring unique experiences and advice to the podcast. 3, insight into all kinds of current and upcoming trends and their non-offensive opinions on the pros and cons.
Non-offensive.
Non-offensive. The hosts, Michelle and Christy, do a really good job of talking through this. I love that they have opinions. Whether or not I agree with them, it really helps to hear why they do or don't recommend a certain idea. 4, excellent pacing. What I can't stand about many other podcasts is how slowly they talk through topics or their pace of speech. Michelle and Christy are very articulate and easy to listen to without talking like kindergarten teachers.
Mm.
They're fun and have great energy, but still technical and straightforward. Summary, best find ever. Listen to this podcast and hashtag plan that wedding.
Very good review.
I mean, talk about articulate.
Yeah, I will say that when you came up with this cockamamie idea for us to do a podcast in the first place, and I pretty much only listened to NPR podcasts at that time in my life, I went onto iTunes and listened to a bunch of wedding podcasts that were just showing up when I searched wedding planning. And I think some of them, because they were one person without a partner, it was truly like, and this is my theory, is that it's because it was just one person, but either way, it was just one person. And for me, it was like listening to somebody who had typed out a report. Maybe it was a really good report, but I was just listening to them read their report. And I was, that was not going to do it for me. Like, I cannot listen to a podcast without some back and forth and some, you know, exchange of energy. And I think maybe it's the improv background I have, where it's like, you give a little bit and you pitch a little bit. And then at the end, you circle back and you round it all out.
Feed off of each other.
And yeah. And you're like back to the beginning. Boom. Now we have an ending. Talk to you guys next week. I can't listen to podcasts that don't do that, whether they're about like news or politics or murder. That's just my personal, like, that's why I tune into podcasts, is to hear people bounce off of each other. So I'm glad she said that. And it makes me feel like we're doing, you know, we're doing a lot of things right for a lot of different people. Maybe each person that listens only likes one of the things that she mentioned, but I think that that's enough. So I'm happy that she reminded us of that. So thank you for leaving that thoughtful review, whoever you are, Groupon user.
Frequent Groupon shopper. Thank you. Because I want to say this too. And you bring up a good point that there's two of us, you know, like a marriage, right? We're talking about weddings, but there's not a wedding without two individuals coming into it. And you and I, Christy, you are my partner in this. And we have such great, unique
chemistry,
things, ideas, chemistry that we bring to this. And I
sometimes
love you,
man. It's 60-40. Who knows?
Sometimes it's 60-40. Sometimes it's 20.
80.
What is that? 80. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm not good at math. See, she's helping me. Do you see that? Do you hear that? So, frequent Groupon shopper, thank you for that very articulate review. And for just reminding Christy and I how much we love each other. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We needed that.
We needed that.
That's it for housekeeping, yes?
Yeah. Okay, great. Now, Yawa.
Okay. Well, you read the first question since I answered it. How about that? We'll do it that way.
Okay, cool. And here we go.
Question number one.
Question number one. I have to say that I recently discovered podcasts and have loved listening to your show. I have felt a bit overwhelmed by everything, and listening to your podcast relieves my stress because I feel like the things I may have missed in the planning process are covered. I only wish I'd discovered the podcast sooner because now I am 2 months away from my wedding and furiously cramming. A lot of the information would have been amazing to have at the beginning of the planning process, and I will definitely be recommending your podcast to my friends getting married. I always hear you guys saying we can send you our questions, so if you don't mind, I have a few.
Go right ahead.
And here we go. And this is from Lauren, by the way. We've had a lot of Laurens. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Laurens.
So it was a popular name for the demographic that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. First question. How long does it roughly take for one person to light 70 votive candles? That's a very specific question.
I kind of love that question because I was like, when I was answering it in my head, I was like, boom, I know this one.
You did?
Yeah, I was like, I know it.
Oh. Okay. How much time should we realistically set aside to visit each table for dinner if we have 18 tables with 10 people at each? We are not doing a receiving line, so it is important to us that we get the opportunity to talk to each person. So that's another question. I have been working on an item list of everything I need to remember to bring to the wedding. Do you know of a master document, maybe on someone's website or in a book, that I can reference to make sure I didn't miss anything? We are really limited in our choice of photography spots, both outdoor, but especially indoor in case of rain. Have you worked with anyone who used a clever solution or something unique that might help us generate some new ideas? As more of a personal question, I had a friend who I was close with and basically told her she would be invited to my wedding. But in the year following, she really distanced herself from me and started dating a girl that I work with and have had not the best relationship with. It is a very long and much more complicated story, but long story short, is it okay to not invite her anymore? I would have to invite both since they are dating, and I know both of them, and at this point, I don't really want either of them at my wedding. It makes me feel like a terrible person, and what do I do if they ask about their invitation? Do you have any recommendations for tactful ways to deal with that encounter? Thank you so much. I really look forward to hearing back from you, Lauren. Okay, Christy.
Okay, great.
You're on, girl.
I just got sort of paranoid that she didn't say yes, we could share it, but I think she did, and it's too late now.
Yeah, she did.
Because I was like, what email was that on? We're all over the place. Okay, first of all, votive candles. What does she say? 70? How long does it take to light them? Great question, because people sort of assume, I want that candle look. And then the venue says, oh, well, it has to be votives with 2 inches of glass over the flame. So you spend a bunch of money or you rent them or your caterer says they're going to bring them the little glass cups with the short little candles. First of all, you should note that those candles themselves usually go out at about 5 hours. So it's not something you want to do super early in the setup process. But once you have them all on the tables, and typically it's like 5 per table of a round table that seats 10 people. I'm just saying like the most common setup we see. You put all the votives on the candles. It's going to take under 10 minutes for 2 people to go around and light them. Probably closer to 5 minutes, honestly. Just buy the big long lighters and buy a couple of them and get, you know, 2 dedicated people to do this about 15 minutes before guests are to enter the reception. And please note that a lot of times the catering staff or even the florist will do this for you, even if they didn't bring the votives. So it's worth just checking with them and seeing. Okay. As far as...
Can I talk about that lighter really quick? Because I have one quick tip about the lighter. Because you can buy the cheap, long-necked lighters that you click at, like, the dollar store. But if you spend a couple more dollars at like Safeway or Stop and Shop or wherever you're living, whatever state you're in, and you buy the long lighters that have the long neck, but now they come like a flexi straw, like you can bend them, buy those. Because if you don't, you're going to have to pick up each votive and tip it and then light it with your lighter. As opposed to if you have that bendy neck on the lighter, you can just literally just click, just put it in there and click. Just going to save you a little time.
Yeah, and those are just as, they're the same price as the other ones. So buy a couple packs of those. But yeah, set the votives where you want them. Tell two people to go light them. Okay, so table visits during dinner. They want to go up to every table and say hello and thank you to their guests for coming. And they want to do this during dinner. Probably you're going to have the photographer follow you around to get these group shots. If you don't, then people are going to use their own cell phones and be like, take a picture of us and hand the cell phone to somebody else at the table, blah, blah, blah. These take a long time. There's no way around it. I've had several couples who wanted to do this. And then maybe they, let's say they had 15 tables. After a couple tables on their own, not because I told them to, but the couples actually split up. And it was like, you go over there and I'm going to go over here because it's taking so long at each table because you can't just go say, hi, thank you, and then leave. You have to give people hugs and like, oh, my gosh, I haven't seen you in forever. And people want to say something to you, of course. So if it's a priority for you to do this, you have to schedule extra time into the dinner part of your reception, which also means that people are going to be sitting around after they've finished with their dinner. And it's just, that's just what happens. It's not a big deal. They'll have some more wine. The catering staff will take care of their plates. Plan on eating your own meal quickly because we do not want you skipping dinner. Kind of right at the beginning of the reception. Inform your caterer of this plan so that they can get you your plates first, even if it's a buffet. And then as soon as you're done, you hop up and you get started together. Like I said, you should tell your photographer if you want to do this ahead of time. They'll follow you around. It's hard to estimate how much time this is going to take, but I would generally say that for a wedding with 200 guests, you need an hour of dinner service. And that's if you're having like just one round of dinner. If you're having a buffet where you have lines, if you're having three courses, they're going to schedule 90 minutes to 2 hours for dinner. But yeah. No matter what, if you want to greet every table during dinner time, add on 30 minutes to that. That's that in your timeline is dinner plus table visits, and it's going to be a big chunk of your reception. So, you know, if you had a rehearsal dinner or if you had a party the night before where you got to see a lot of people, skip them for this part and go to all the people that you haven't gotten to see yet, because it can get a little bogged down, and your wedding planner or your DJ, whoever is running your show, is going to be waiting for you to finish these to get the first dances or the cake cutting or whatever else started. And they're not going to want to rush you because you are the couple getting married. So that's that. Okay. As far as a checklist goes, you can look this up on blogs. And I included a link to one that was on a Martha Stewart weddings.com site. And it was a pretty comprehensive checklist. They're also in the back of almost every wedding magazine, like hard copy magazine that you buy at Barnes & Noble. And you can look up wedding day checklists, look up what they say on five different websites, and then put them all together. Of course, Michelle and I have these also. But I think we're both a little bit, we're not just sending our templates out as with the questions that we get because it's like our property, I guess, right? Intellectual property.
Yeah,
and it's different for every wedding. So go. I included this Martha Stewart one. I'll include it in the show notes. It's a pretty comprehensive checklist, like I said. Okay, what was the question about photography and rain? Like a plan B?
A plan B, like inside some, you know, yes. Kind of unique ideas.
Inside is not as much fun for photographers. That's almost across the board. So if your photographer can go to the venue ahead of time and scope it out, that would be best, because sometimes a very plain room or a corner or a foyer makes for great photos because they are looking at light. And we might see like just a wall and like a not very ornate fireplace or something. But what a photographer is looking at is the way the light comes in to the room and bounces off the subjects and fills the photos. So it would help immensely if your photographer could come up with some very specific locations in the venue for this.
I think I've seen, there's a photographer here in San Francisco. I think a couple of them have done this. But you know that Annie Leibovitz Vogue kind of styled shoot that she always sets up with that really moody lighting and some kind of cool vintage furniture. Mm-hmm.
And like a ladder.
Yeah, like if you found a space, let's say it's a hotel and you have a suite, or some space off of the off of the ballroom, and you rented some furniture, or even the hotel had some interesting furniture, and your photographer rented special lighting just for your portrait photography, and then that could double as kind of like a photo booth for your guests. You know, that would be kind of a fun, really dramatic, moody, awesome vintage way of creating those photos.
Good idea. And it doesn't take a lot to bring that stuff also.
No, your photographer can rent that lighting in, you know, not crazy expensive. And, you know, you could create some vignette, some space.
Great. So about the non-friend, somebody I wanted to invite, blah, blah, blah. This is sticky. It like makes me sweat a little bit whenever I like delve into these things with my clients, because it's really easy for me as a planner and I deal with the logistics of wedding planning, and we want our clients to be happy. So it's really easy for us, I think, sometimes to be like, hey, do what you want, follow your heart. But I know that that's like a trite advice when you actually have to act on it and you potentially could hurt someone's feelings or, you know, make a mistake long term. And I made some mistakes with my invite list to my own wedding, so I'm particularly sensitive to these sort of issues. My advice to this listener was, if you do not want this person there, don't invite them. But you have to be ready to say that to her when she asks. Because if you told her that she was going to be invited, she probably will ask. And my bet is that this will effectively end the friendship. So it is something to think about. If you're wavering and you don't want to end a friendship over it, and you're going to have 200 guests anyway, you know, maybe you consider inviting her. But whatever you decide, I encourage you to make the choice and then let it go as best you can. Don't let either decision cause you further anxiety or mental energy once you've made the call. And that's good advice for life in general, honestly, that I have to give myself sometimes. That being said, I don't have a particularly tactful way to say it when she asks you. But let's say it's something along the lines of, Kim, I'm really sorry you're bummed. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but we had to make hard decisions about the guest list when we were planning. And that kind of just leaves it like vague and open-ended. And you're crossing your fingers that she doesn't press you, and you don't have to be like, I don't like you, Kim. And that's that. You know, you can just say like, we had to make these hard decisions. Well, back to work, you know, whatever. Just try to keep it as like gentle and vague as possible. And then stop talking about it and be sensitive, right? Like, don't talk about your wedding around her. That seems obvious. You're a nice person, Lauren. You would know not to do that. So that's that part. That's a tough situation. I don't envy you that, but I think a lot of couples deal with that. And
oh yeah,
it's as we grow up, interpersonal relationships and friendships and, you know, work friends, and everybody fits into their space. And it's hard as an adult. I mean, it's hard as a kid and a teenager, but it doesn't get any easier. I guess that's my big advice there.
Very good. Yeah.
Great. Well, good luck. Follow up with us, please. Let us know how things are going and send pictures. And we hope you have a great wedding.
Excellent. We need to take a moment here and thank our sponsor, Zola, Z-O-L-A, Zola.com. Zola is reinventing the wedding registry and planning process to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. Join over 500,000 couples who have used Zola. Zola Registry has everything you love about your favorite department store, plus things like honeymoon funds, fitness classes, wine subscriptions, and so much more. A friendly customer service team will go above and beyond, helping pick out the perfect blender, walking a grandmother through a couple's registry, and more. They have price matching and free shipping every day. A couple Zola registry automatically integrates into their Zola wedding website so guests can seamlessly shop and get all the details they need in one place. Zola's other wedding planning tools include a customizable checklist and guest list manager. And Christy and I, who are getting married, according to Zola, ordered our gifts and they came and we love them. And the process was super easy. And they have so much cool stuff. It actually took me a really long time because I kind of wanted like...
She wanted my share of the money we were going to split. Zola was like... We'll give the Big Wedding Planning Podcast this much money to spend on the site so they can talk about it and see how it works and what's so awesome. And we split it 50-50, of course. And we both were like throwing things in the basket and then deciding later, like, I might get this, I might get
that.
Okay, forget it.
Do you really want to order? Are you sure?
It was actually a really fun shopping process because I felt like I look through Amazon before I go to bed because it's like on my, it's an app that's easy, but Zola's interface is really... It's like all the curated stuff from
a website.
Yeah, like it's prettier stuff, but it's also a prettier site. So, their like interface is, they know what they're doing. It's like user friendly to the point that you're putting things in your basket that you like. I want to be that kind of person who has that kind of vase in their house. And then a week later, I'll look and be like, who am I kidding? I'm not that kind of person. I can't buy that vase.
And they had a sale. Last week, they had like 20% off, so that was awesome. And they have like everything you can think of. And I mean, really, like you can register for your honeymoon. You can register for cooking. Anyway, they're pretty genius, this Zola.
And I got my items, and I had ended up ordering a bunch of small things. And they...
You did. You got more things than I did.
I was actually thinking they're gifts for other people, because I have weddings coming up, and so I was getting them as like gifts for the weddings that I'm going to. And
oh, good.
They are just perfect. Like what I got in the mail, I opened the box and was like, you know what? That is perfect for who I'm giving it to. So great, great stuff. And it was a great, easy process. I'm a fan.
All right. Zola has a unique URL for our listeners. So you're going to go to zola.com/bigwedding. Again, zola.com/bigwedding, and you're going to get a $50 credit toward your wedding registry. So check them out. Thank you, Zola.
Very good. Okay, this one, I feel like this one needs like a map. You have to draw a map when you're listening to it to keep track of the people, right?
Yeah,
because it's so listen up, pay attention.
Pay attention, okay?
Because it is descriptive, but it comes down to some things that we think everyone might be dealing with a little bit.
Did you answer this one or did
I? You did. I know sometimes our voices feel the same.
We're just like the same person sometimes.
Okay. So you think I should read the whole thing?
Because
I think like what it comes down to is the etiquette.
It gets confusing.
So let's just summarize. It's okay. First, she says, I recently discovered your podcast and I think you're both incredible. I will never summarize compliments. I love listening to you on my way home from work. It keeps me calm about my wedding and everything I still have to do, especially being 2 months out. So I was put in an uncomfortable situation today by my family and I could use your advice. This is a time sensitive issue and we did write her back immediately. So hopefully we helped. So it comes down to the etiquette with inviting someone or not inviting someone to a shower, a bridal shower in this case, but it could be an engagement party or a wedding shower for both, you know, partners, inviting someone to the shower that you are not planning on inviting to the wedding. And in general, this person that emailed us knows you shouldn't invite someone to a shower that isn't going to be invited to the wedding. And I know I'm not inviting this specific person to the wedding because I'm not close with her, but the host of the shower has connections to where they are close. And the host of the shower was privy to information that basically said from let's say Lisa, who's not going to be invited to the wedding, told the host of the shower, essentially, like, my feelings would definitely be hurt if I saw pictures on social media and found out that I had not been invited. So through some miscommunication, because oftentimes the hosts of these showers are matriarchs of your family, right? And in this case, there's aunts and moms, and there's divorced parents. So maybe the communication between a paternal aunt is not the same as with your own mom, who you may have made it clear that you're not inviting this person. It gets very convoluted. And in the end, this woman was invited to the shower by the host, knowing that she was not, I mean, the hostess knew she wasn't going to be invited to the wedding, and the bride very much felt like she was put in a rock and a hard place because of the hostess. Now, you've now taken it upon yourself to invite this person, and the hostess basically said, well, she's invited, and now it's up to you and your mom, or you and yours, to make it clear that she's not invited to the wedding, or you could just invite her. But this bride is saying, we have a budget. We have a pretty big guest list. There are already people on my B guest list that I want to invite in the event that I have more openings. So there's really not room for this person. There's not wiggle room. And it doesn't sound like our listener and the author of this email is conflicted about whether or not she should invite this person. She knew all along she didn't want to invite Lisa.
Yeah, it wasn't even a thought. I mean, they're like distant relatives that they never talk to each other or see
each other. Which is the exact kind of person we would put in the category if we were advising you into absolutely don't invite them then. If you're not inviting everyone and you're paying for this yourself and you already have a B list, don't invite her and don't even think about it again. But it got muddled up because she was invited to this shower anyway. So Michelle gave her advice about that situation.
Yeah, and I gave her advice. And also I want to say, her aunt who's throwing her the shower also doesn't want to communicate with her mother, the mother of the bride. And like the mother of the bride wanted to help and wanted to do some stuff. And she wouldn't even like
entertain the
talk
idea
to her. So it's kind of hard because here it is, her aunt throwing her this shower in a really awesome venue that she only can throw. I think it's like a super cool space where she lives. And so the bride's like, this is so awesome and how lovely, she's throwing me this shower. But at the same time, it's like she's making my mom feel uncomfortable. She's talking to people that, you know, she doesn't want her talking to. She's inviting people. It's just a very
messy.
And I know you all know who have family members like this. It's like, it's so stressful.
Yeah. You want something to just be cut and dry, and you try to communicate your needs effectively, and then it just ends up being a mess, and it kind of makes you go like, well, why do I even bother in the first place? But the truth is, it's your wedding, so you have to.
Right, and yeah. And this listener did not want her name said, so her alias is Dazed and Confused. Mm. So here's my answer. First of all, congratulations on your engagement. Thank you for listening to our show. I'm so happy we're helping and keeping you calm, because that is our goal. Second of all, I'm sorry you are dealing with this. It's so frustrating when you have things planned and you have goals, and then a family member just kind of pulls the rug out from under you with one inconsiderate move. Here's my advice. Stick to your guns. You have a budget. It's not your fault that people are not communicating properly. And since now Lisa is not coming to your shower, then even better. Oh, yeah, because at the last minute she said, okay, a quick update. Now this person's not coming to the shower.
Yes, she's not coming anyway after all that.
She's not coming anyway. It's just these people, they make drama, man. Okay. But okay, great. She's not coming to the shower. Even better, but still, do not invite her and her husband. Now, if this turns into World War III with your family and you think that the best thing to do for your stress level is to invite her, then just say, F it, and just do it. Other than that, you have done everything correctly. You hear that? You've done everything correctly. Also, it's a shame that your aunt is not allowing your mother to help out. Sounds like there is bad blood there between the two of them, and although it's very loving and sweet of her to throw you the shower, it would be even better if she would put her anger and issues aside and include your mom for you. Either way, like we always say, you cannot control others. You can only control your reaction to others. You keep on doing what you are doing. Enjoy this magical time in your life and focus on the positives, as they definitely outweigh the negatives. Have fun at your shower. Take pictures and post them. Hashtag plan that wedding if you post them on Instagram so we can see them. And yeah, that was my advice.
Yes, and that's actually twice now, so we're two for two here, that our advice is definitely do this, but if it will ease your mind to do this, then do that. The bottom line is, whatever you decide, once the decision is made, be at peace with it. Don't let it take up any more of your mental energy. There's enough to think about with wedding planning, not to mention the fact that you are thinking about, you know, what the rest of your life with your partner is going to look like. So all the rest of this is peripheral. Once you make a decision, accept it, move on, and do not lose sleep over it anymore, whatever that decision is.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then the last letter, email, was another one that you answered. So I will read it. It did have some back and forth, but I think your answer with the questions that you asked her is what's important for our listeners to hear, because it's like, here's the things you should be considering if you're in this situation. And then, you know, hopefully we help some of you out of these problems just by listening to our advice to other couples going through them. So this one says, ladies, first of all, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your podcast has been so helpful in planning our wedding. Because of our weird, somewhat seasonal work, we're planning our wedding in just 4 months. I have binge listened to almost every episode and cannot thank you enough for all the helpful tips and bringing up things I never would have thought about. I have a couple questions that I haven't heard addressed on the podcast and would appreciate your feedback. We are doing a brunch wedding ceremony at 11 and a brunch reception to follow. It is a 40-minute drive away. So from ceremony to reception, 40 minutes. We are having a hard time figuring out how to fit everything in with pictures. Do you have any brunch wedding timeline hints so that we aren't doing pictures at 9 a.m.? My photographer wants to do all the group shots after the reception. Okay. I'm hesitant about that. Is it a good idea? I'm concerned that we're all going to look tired and ties will be off, etc. One last question, because it'll be bright out when we leave our reception. So 4 p.m. is when the reception is going to end. We are planning a confetti exit. So I think she means we're doing that instead of a sparkler exit because it's still daytime. Any tips on making sure the guests throw it appropriately? I think this could look great or it could be a disaster. Thank you so much. Thank you for your work with the podcast. I look forward to my drive every Wednesday so that I can listen to the new episode.
Yay.
So you answered this listener.
Yeah, I answered. And I needed more information to give her
timeline,
a
help.
Thorough timeline. But congratulations and thank you so much for listening. So thrilled you're enjoying the show. Also, we love brunch. Bottom line is you will have a bit of a tight schedule, and that's okay. So I asked her three questions. One is, where are you getting ready? Specifically, how far from the ceremony location, right? So how long is the drive? And when you figure out how long of a drive it is, guys, and you go to like Google Maps and you map it out, there's usually an option on there that says with traffic. Just go with that number to put a buffer in your schedule. That's a little tip. Two, will you have a wedding party that you want to have these photos with? Because I don't know if she had bridesmaids, groomsmen, you know, honored attendants. Mm-hmm. Three, are you open to seeing your fiance before the ceremony for a first look? I agree that waiting until after the whole event will not be a good idea. It's best pre and post ceremony to do these photos, and then perhaps taking a break during brunch reception for more, spread them out. With regard to the confetti, I said, don't overthink this. Consult with your photographer. Guys, you definitely want to consult with your photographer on these things. If you haven't already done so, he or she will have some great suggestions. My thought is that your guests should create a pathway, almost like an aisle, for you outside the venue where your ceremony is taking place. Stage it, right? And be ready. They are ready to throw the confetti when prompted by your photographer as you both run out. And don't forget your bouquet. Have your bouquet in your hand. And then I also recommended that she listen to our three-part series on the wedding day timeline. And for those of you that need to listen to that, those are numbers 17, 18, and 20. I don't know why we skipped one in between. That was kind of weird.
We had Maria Chang and her story. And yeah,
oh,
we felt like...
Oh, yeah. We needed to get that out.
Yeah, we could split it up.
And then... So she wrote back to my questions, and she said they're both getting ready at a hotel that's about a 10-minute drive from the church. Okay, so that's answer number one. We will want photos with the wedding party, and that's four on each side, so eight people. Plus the two of them, that's 10. We are doing a first look with photos of just fiance and I before the ceremony. Great. So good, okay? So again, I answered her back. Okay. I'm really glad you guys are doing a first look. That's awesome. Wedding party is not huge, so capturing photos with them should be easy and it's not going to take a long time. So here's some scenarios. A lot of couples prefer wedding party photos and photos with parents and grandparents to be done at the church immediately following the ceremony. Your guests will leave and be on their way to the reception. And one tip here, guys, is that don't come back out for the photos until the guests have left the church. Mm-hmm. So get out of sight.
Your officiant can help make that announcement at the end.
Or your wedding.
You want people to
absolutely
just move their butts.
Get out. Yep. Have your wedding party and family members kind of go into that back area or, step up on the altar, whatever it is, have them leave and get out of sight as well. So they're not talking to guests. Make sure your guests are moving out or at least to the back of the church before you come back out for these photos, okay? Or else your guests won't leave. So your guests will leave and be on their way to the reception. It's okay for you to arrive a little bit late to the reception. Your guests should be greeted by staff at the reception site with some ambiance music, right? There's music playing in the background. And some small bites to eat, hors d'oeuvres, appetizers, and some drinks. In this case, it's brunch. So maybe there's mimosas. There's coffee. There's Bloody
donuts.
Marys. There's orange juice. Ooh, donuts. Yeah. And then my big question is, do you have a wedding coordinator? Because if you don't, you need one. 10 a.m., first look at a nice location, either side of the hotel. Either inside of the hotel or outside on the hotel grounds. This is a quick 15 minutes. This does not take forever. 10:15 a.m., drive to your church. This is assuming there is a back room somewhere with a private entrance that you can wait in the church. If you have to enter straight from the car or the parking lot to walk down the aisle, then you can arrive to the church around 10:30, 10:45 for an 11 o'clock ceremony. Just make sure you use the restroom before you leave the hotel. 10:30 a.m., your guests will start to arrive to the church. So make sure you've got music playing and everything is set. The early guests will start getting there around 10:30 a.m. Your ceremony is at 11. About 11:40 a.m. is when those post-ceremony photos are going to take place with the family members and the wedding party. Make sure you have a list of all the photos you want taken and give this to your photographer in advance. So days before, I want you to create a list of your photo shoots. Mom, dad, Michelle.
Assume 60 seconds for each group. It won't take that long, but if you don't assume that, they're trying to wrangle people, get grandma up there, get that aunt, put the cousin in the back, we can't see your face, step up, blah, blah, blah. It averages out to 60 seconds per grouping.
60 seconds of 2 minutes. I think in a church, if they're all seated and they're all quiet and they're all there and present, yes.
Which is something.
If you had to go fish them out.
It's all going to go faster the more information you give people ahead of time. At the rehearsal dinner, go up to every one of these family members and be like, just so you know, we're going to do these pictures right after the ceremony. In order for it to be quick, if you could just stay there, pay attention, be quiet. I really want to bang this out so we can join the party.
Yeah. So you've got a shot list, right, for your photographer that you've given to them in advance. And you have a family member who knows everybody. Usually it's like your cousin, your aunt, your sibling, who can wrangle these people for you so that the photographer is just, boom, doing their job, taking those photos. Bring an extra hard copy to the church. And tell all of these people involved, like Christy said, that that these photos are going to take place so they know what to do after the ceremony is over.
This is often the crunchiest time of the entire wedding day. When you're in a hurry, and especially when you have multiple groupings and big families. So you kind of just have to like be in it. The more prepared you are, the better. The more organized you are, the quicker.
So that's an 11 a.m. ceremony, right? So about 11:40 is when I'm saying they'll be starting those photos. Now, here's one thing that just popped into my mind, Christy. I didn't ask her if this is a Catholic full mass. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's not because of her timeline.
I think she would have said because the Catholic churches usually have photography constraints on top of that.
Yeah, but if it's a full mass, that's an hour ceremony minimal, which is going to throw a whole nother wrench. But we're assuming she's not having a full mass. All right, here's the ceremony if you do not take the photos at the church, right? So originally, taking photos at the church, our day started at, what time is it? 10 a.m. for the first look, right? If you're not taking the photos at the church, we've got a 9:15 a.m. first look, which I remember earlier on, she's like, what can we do so we're not taking photos early, like at 9, right? If you're not going to do those photos after the ceremony at the church, you need to have a 9:15 a.m. first look at a nice location, either inside of the hotel or outside of the hotel. Again, 15 minutes. 9:35, then you let the wedding party come in. You're taking the photos in the same location. Just have them come and meet you at night. Be there at 9:30. You'll start the photos at 9:35. 10:15, drive to the church. Same thing as before. You're either entering from the back room, in which case you leave at 10:15, right? Or you're entering straight from the car, in which case you're arriving, 10:30, 10:45. Use the bathroom. 10:30, everything else is the same. 10:30, guests are arriving. 11, ceremony. 11:40, now guess what? You're done with those photos. You got your family and your friends and all those photos, unless your family wants photos at the altar. If not, 11:40, you should be driving to the reception now. 12:30, arrive reception, same time as your guests, or drive to a location close to the reception and take a few photos outside with the wedding party and immediate family. I prefer the couple arrive a little later to the reception than the guests. Don't you, Christy? To kind of like let the guests acclimate.
And it's like a mini entrance before the second entrance into the reception where you might have somebody announcing it.
Yeah.
And it almost always happens that way because even if they don't have a bunch of photos to do, it's nice to take a quick breather after the ceremony and just have a minute, just the two of you, maybe somewhere else. Oh my gosh, we just did this thing. We're married now. It's, sometimes we sign the marriage license during that time too. You don't need everybody around for that. It's a nice quiet moment. The photographer wants to capture that. So it puts you entering cocktail hour or whatever you have going on a little later, even if you get to enjoy half of it.
Because what happens is you're going to have that quiet moment if you do a first look before the ceremony. But after the ceremony, if you don't take some moment to just breathe and let it sink in and look in each other's eyes and kiss and hug in a quiet moment by yourselves.
No, the rest is a whirlwind, a joyful whirlwind, but you don't get that. I just had two things to add or to compliment what you wrote back. And that the first one is about the first look. 15 minutes is exactly how much I put in my timelines for that as well. And the photographer is the one who facilitates that. So oftentimes it's like, okay, you stand here and then you're going to come around the corner or you're going to come down the stairs, but then you're going to turn around. There's a little bit of contrived motions that you have to do in order for the photographer to get out of the way and capture the real emotion of what is, you know, you're seeing each other for the first time. And if you're a straight couple doing this traditionally, then you're in your dress and he takes a deep breath and you both have tears in your eyes and you get that photo that you want that you've seen 100 times online. So there's a facilitation about it that the photographer needs to do. It helps a lot if the photographer's been to the venue before and has an idea of where they want to do this. But also, it takes 1 minute. So after that, you have a little bit of time to get some of those photos that are just the two of you beyond the reveal, but actual like formal photos. So that can, if you do it with, if you do a first look, you can save a little bit of time on the post ceremony end of things for photos of just the two of you. And also if you're crunched for time to get to the reception, remember that you can also like sneak out of the reception for 15 minutes, maybe a sunset if it's a brunch wedding, maybe when everybody's, you know, eating on the tail end of brunch, you and your partner can sneak out with the photographer and get some photos outside just the two of you or in a different room just the two of you, which will help save a little time right after the ceremony. And the other thing I wanted to mention, which was specific just to the fact that the ceremony is 40 minutes away from the reception, is that sometimes really cool, intimate pictures can be done right outside of, say, a cable car or a limo that you've rented before you get in or even on the ride. Because oftentimes the photographer has an assistant and they are booking it to the venue so that they can get shots of the venue before you get there. But the photographer, I've had multiple weddings when he's like, hey, is it cool if I hitch a ride with the couple on their way?
Yeah.
And then
that's
you get
the best.
Some awesome pictures of the two of you in the back of a car, or, you know, if you had enough money to get like a cool rental car for the day, the photographer's there with you. And it's a little bit of time to just get some kind of, I don't know, behind the scenes pictures. So, yeah, you're like waving out the window, you know. Maybe, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we did.
It can be kind of cool vintage-y looking shots.
Yeah, that's a good point, Christy, because that moment we said after, if it's just the two of you in that car and someone's driving,
that totally counts. Space,
there's your moment. There's your
yes,
moment.
Have some champagne.
And let the photographer be there. Who cares? He or she is not.
They're not going to get in the way. They want to capture the moment between the two of you. And
yeah, it's like reality TV. It's like the Kardashians, you know? Do they really know the cameras are there?
Totally. They know exactly.
They count on them being there. Anyway, good tips there to add, lady.
So that's that. It's a 40-minute commute between ceremony and reception is not, it doesn't have to be like a huge hurdle to overcome. It can just be a part of your timeline as long as you are prepared going into it.
It's just the way it is, man.
Lean in.
Lean into that shit.
Love that 40-minute ride.
Make love on that 40-minute ride.
Do what you want. We are here to support you. Okay, so that is Yawa for what? The month of April.
Yeah, can you believe this?
Very good. We did it. Good job, everyone. So if you want more of us, we are all over the place. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, our website. We have an email address, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. That's where these people wrote these awesome questions. Of course, we talked about Patreon, and we have a phone number that I actually know this time because you wrote it in our notes here. 415-723-1625. No one has broken the seal on our voicemail yet.
Yeah, can you call us?
Call us. Tell us you think we're awesome.
Pick up.
Maybe tell us which one of us is your favorite. Who knows what you want to talk about? Just leave a voice message.
415-723-16. Should I do my phone voice? 25. Call us.
Very good.
Live operators are waiting for your call. Not really.
And if you
it's a Google phone.
put any photos of yourself and your wedding planning or your wedding on social media, please hashtag plan that wedding. That is the thing I search for the most on Instagram. Because I think it's the coolest when anybody else puts it as their, you know, in their hashtag. So hashtag plan that wedding. We're here for you. We want you to listen and tell your friends and rate us and review us and email us and love us. And that's it.
I will talk to you next week. Happy belated birthday, Christy Matthews.
Thank you very much.
Happy planning, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.